There's many things I'd like to speak to you about today, but I think the most important one is the contributions that each of these honored men and women have made to build this organization. And I'd like to appeal to them to realize that it's just as necessary as it was in years gone by as it is today that you continue to maintain the same spirit and the same deep interest that made many of the things possible that Executive Council member Brother McNulty referred to. There's the news media, the true story of organized labor will never be told. It just will never be told. There's an effort being made by a good percentage of the news media to have it appear to the American people that the man that was endorsed after a survey of the members throughout the United States, after a survey was made, the labor movement recommended one of the candidates. And the news media is making every effort to have people believe that he has lost a great deal of support in many parts of the country because of the fact that working men and women in this country have taken on the responsibility to endorse him in advance. It was a change. It was a different procedure to endorse a candidate in advance of the Democratic Convention. Now, there are some Republicans that held high public office that made a real contribution to working people. Governor Rockefeller, the memory of Governor Rockefeller, is one of them. But the man we have in the White House at present, it's hard to believe that he carries out the functions of president of this country. You must realize he was an actor, and that's a good profession. He was a Democrat, and he became a Republican. He was elected by a group of very prominent, wealthy men as the governor of California. An effort was made by the similar group to put up millions of dollars to win the Republican nomination for him. They didn't make it. The second occasion, the same group, a similar group, put up millions of dollars to win him the nomination. They didn't make it, and they blamed the Eastern Republican bloc for preventing him getting the nomination. This last Republican convention, they won it. And from what I can see, they're getting rewarded for the efforts they made and the success they had in putting him over on the American people. If you make a little study of it, which you should, the deficit that has been created, the deficit which was never dreamed of by any other administration, is put a mortgage on the future life of your grandchildren, and if you have any great-grandchildren, and your children, it's put a mortgage on their future. The cost of that debt is so tremendous, it's just staggering to think of the cost of the interest on that debt. And to think that when you, in years gone by, when you went out and looked for a house, it was $7,000. And today, with the inflation, a house smaller than the one that sold for $7,000 is now selling for $75,000. Just try to visualize if you were going to buy a house for $75,000 and pay a mortgage of 12 or 14% or more on that kind of a mortgage. Now, the inflation hasn't been accidental in this country. It didn't come about by itself. The high interest rates, they didn't come about by themselves. And some members, some American men and women that do the work and produce the wealth, it seems it's difficult for them to have the understanding. They are paying the total bill of the high interest rates. Anything that you purchase, try to think of some product that you could purchase that doesn't include the cost of that high interest rate. Now, some people think, well, it's a little lower than it was. It's a little lower because we're approaching an election. There's every reason to believe that interest rate is going to be higher again, and much higher, and many other things that we don't foresee would take place in this nation if the present resident of the White House is continued there. So any worker, any American worker, man or woman, whether he's a Democrat or a Republican or an independent or a socialist, I think they should approach this question in the workers' interest. What is in the best interest of the workers? Not who combs his hair the best, or whether or not there's going to be a woman vice president, or whether or not there's going to be all the different gimmicks that will be introduced between now and November. And as so many workers don't realize how important their position is, so many workers have been misled into believing, oh, my vote doesn't mean anything. What could one vote mean? Fritz Mundell, at a rally that was held yesterday, at that rally, he said, comes the vote on the primary, the people in this country are going to be the bosses. They talk about bosses, and they talk about leaders, and they talk about everything else of that kind in the news media. And there was a time when I was much younger, I can recall people, workers and friends and relatives and neighbors. You always got the reaction, it must be true. I read it in the paper. And the news media feels that they have a great deal at stake in who's going to be the president or who's going to be the senator or who's going to be the governor. What is in the workers' interest? Which candidate believes in people? Which one wants people to have a better opportunity? Give some thought. A youngster like some of them that are here today, how much will it cost for them to get a college education? 15 years from now, how much will it cost to get a college education? Are you familiar with how much it costs now and how little chance any youngster will have 12, 15, 18 years from now to try to get a college education? It's prohibitive now for most working families. Suppose the family has one child or two child, or three children close together, where you'd have to have two or three in college if you were trying to get them the education. And realize that 15 or 18 years from now, without a college education, they'll have no standing at all. They'll have no opportunity at all from everything that's come to our attention. But today, this is not a political meeting. This is a union meeting. The purpose is to honor the men and women that have kept this organization together through good times and through the difficult times that we had. And I'd like every one of you to go away realizing that you played the most important part and that we're indebted to each and every one of you and to every other brother and sister in the same category as you and those that will be in the future. Now, there is a great deal of criticism of young people in the labor movement. I hear it all the time as president of the New York City Central Labor Council. I have access to what's taking place not only in our own union, but in every union that's part of the AFL-CIO in this city. Now, I'm very proud to report to you, and I hope you will follow his career. One of the presidents that preceded George Shook, Ed Cleary, is now the president of the New York State AFL-CIO, the largest AFL-CIO in the nation, state AFL-CIO. And he presided at the rally yesterday. And he's taken on that position at a very, very difficult time. He didn't leave the presidency of our union in his own self-interest. He left the presidency of our union because he was urged by his associates to take on the responsibility of being the secretary of the building trades and the secretary of the state building and construction trade council. And he's in a position to make a better contribution to all workers. And the unions are not only interested in the union members. And the unions have not only benefited only the members of the unions, because wherever the union has been able to introduce something that made the opportunity for working people a little better, and I wish you'd all keep this in mind, as the union struggled to raise their standards over the years, that benefited the men and women that did not belong to a union. Their employers realized they'd have to have them share in a better standard, or they would establish unions. There's a great many things that the news media doesn't make known. And if you stop and think, you understand why I say the truth will never be told. If you owned a newspaper, could you operate it without advertising? If you were a part owner of a radio station, could you operate it without advertising? If you were a member of a TV corporation, and there's the proof of it, Channel 13, public TV. It started out by people that were idealists. They wanted to have a TV without advertising, and they struggled with it. And they appealed to everybody for whatever contribution they could make. But people having so many other problems couldn't possibly contribute as much money as it would take. And what has happened to the TV without advertising? Every program you see on Channel 13 or any other public television station, it's made possible by the IBM, which is a corporation. It's made possible by the AT&T, or it's made possible by any number of other. Every program is made possible by some corporation. So a very real effort failed. You couldn't make a success of a chain of TV stations without advertising. And so long as that exists, you won't expect those that own the news media to carry on in a manner that would be against the best interests of their advertisers. And if they are going to serve their advertisers best, they can't possibly tell the truth about organized labor. Now, I've spoken to you much longer than I had expected to. I do hope you will realize the important role that you are in a position to play in maintaining whatever can be maintained of our labor movement. Our adversaries have the best brains that money can buy to weaken workers' positions. The labor movement helped establish a middle class. The direction we're going in is one where there would be no middle class. There'll be those that have more wealth than they could possibly use or need. And the other, they're trying to push workers down to the level where there'll be the haves and the have-nots. And all of you certainly understand and know that the middle class, the establishment of a middle class, is what made America the greatest nation on earth. And with your help, not only your own individual help, but if you create the understanding among members of your family, among neighbors, among friends, if they take a little time to seriously consider some of the things that have been happening to them. You can't find a place to live in this city. And if you are fortunate enough to be able to find a place to live, you couldn't afford to live there. And if there's anybody here that knows where to find a place that workers can afford, even well-paid workers, please write me a letter and let me know where it is. Because it's very close to heartbreaking. There's so many people that come to us that are desperate for an apartment. They can't understand with their critical problem why an apartment can't be waiting for them. We have young people living in with their mothers or fathers of the husband or the wife. They have one child. They still haven't found a place. They have two children. That makes it very difficult. And they can't find a place to live, and it's getting worse all the time. And the kind of members we have, and we're so fortunate in having them, we put together a meeting. And on one of the worst days, I was fearful they wouldn't show up. We had a meeting here of a committee that's being formed by the officers of the union, a committee being formed, a housing committee. And we heard their suggestions and their ideas and the fact they volunteered to serve on the committee. We're hopeful we'll be able to do something. We don't have any blueprint. We don't have any plan of everything that should be done. We have to try everything that we can. And housing is only one of the very serious problems that workers and their family are faced with. So I appeal to each and every one of you. Study it, become familiar with it, try to see what you can do to be helpful, to strengthen, or to keep the position of workers from being weakened more than it has been. And in closing, I want to thank each and every one of you. You're the ones that this day has been set aside for, and I'm glad and proud that looks like practically all of you, with very few exceptions, are here. God bless you, one and all.